Well, people interpret me as some sort of racist bigot. I think that's because of your editing. We're never doing this again.
Welcome to Things Poor People Say, the podcast where we tell rich people what it was like to grow up poor. You can find this podcast on iTunes, on Pocket Casts, and on Anchor FM. You can also go to thingspoorpeoplesay.com, and you can find this podcast, as well as previous episodes, on that website, as well as all sorts of fun blog posts. Today's episode is brought to you by Yellow Fleeced Looney Tunes Pajama Pants. Yellow fleece Looney Tunes pajama pants. You can wear them anywhere. In fact, you should wear them everywhere at all times. Walking down the street? Wear your pajama pants. Going to the store? Wear your pajama pants. Use code POORAF the next time you buy a pair of yellow fleece Looney Tunes pajama pants and receive one free Diet Code Red Mountain Dew with your next purchase. Yellow Looney Tunes flannel pajama pants. Never not wear them. Our guest today on the Things Poor People Say podcast is Dan Caudill. He's a friend of mine. We used to work together, and he used to tell me crazy stories from his childhood, and I've asked him to come on and share a couple of those today. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff, so buckle up. Yeah! This is Dan Caudill. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Yep.
Happy to be here, Kurt.
Yep. So we are at Ancestry.com headquarters.
You can't say that.
We can?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not sure how that works, but feel free.
Okay, we're at Dan's place of employment. No, we're in an office.
We're in a media recording room.
We're in a media recording room right now. And we're doing episode number two. Dan, how did we meet?
We were co-workers at another company nearby. We can say Entrada, right?
We can say Entrada.
Yeah. I was a technical writer there. You were a trainer.
Was a technical writer.
Technical writer is someone who writes business-related stuff. I think that's the best way to say
it. Asinine, right. Boring views on the world.
Yeah, pretty much. And because of... you and I have very different characteristics in terms of...
girth and brawn.
Social approach, I guess.
Yes.
Where I'm very introverted, and just the fact of even talking at a recorded microphone freaks me out big time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it does for you, but you teach...
Dan's shaking at the moment.
...publicly for a living, so you feel good.
Yes.
Kurt and I sat one or two cubicles away from each other for a year and a half.
And was it a year and a half?
At least a year.
Yeah, it was around a year
like
or so.
I like to exaggerate.
Yeah.
For effect. And you and I probably didn't interact for
We didn't really
year.
Talk.
Even
yeah.
We sat right next to each other.
You came off as like a football fan.
Just the complete opposite. Did I really come across?
Yeah, you came off kind of like a football fan.
It's the broad shoulders.
You have broad shoulders. You wear button-up shirts every day. You wear a baseball hat every day. I figured you already knew that I didn't like football, so you didn't want to... You were like, well, just not interested. And I was like, yeah, probably not interested.
When really, I also have a what's it called? An inferiority complex self-prescribed. It's probably a union thing.
A union?
Union. We should ask Peterson.
Like a Carl Union thing.
A David Jungian thing.
Yeah.
which means that I think everybody around me is already always better than I am.
Right.
So I was afraid of all of you big shot trainers.
So where does that come from?
Probably, I have no idea.
Your childhood, maybe?
Probably.
Let's get into your childhood.
Dude, we're experts at segues. Transitions? Is the transition a segue?
Same thing. I think so. So we worked together, and then after like a year or so, we talked. I think we talked about like music or something, or like talked about, oh, that's funny. We would say like funny jokes, and I was like, oh, Dan's funny guy. And then
we also talked about religion a lot.
That's the first thing I remember is that I think, I don't know, did you think I was like a full on, like, by the book Utah Mormon?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I also made a point of not talking about my religious beliefs, right, because I'm in Utah surrounded by a company largely made up of Mormons.
Yeah, yeah.
And my personal experience at the time was like, I don't know.
Mormonism.
I'm a skeptic above all else.
Right, right.
Was kind of my philosophy.
So we talked about religion. That's how we first became friends, because we talked about like our doubts and our skepticism first. Mm-hmm. Not in like a serious way, but just like, oh yeah, no, I don't know that there's a God, and I don't know that Mormonism is the path to that God, but I'm happy where I'm at,
yeah,
and I'm working towards something.
Right. Yeah.
And you and kind
I
of
remember
felt the same
being
way.
I wouldn't say impressed by your perspective,
oh,
but you know, appreciative of it, and it made me think a lot. Where you were like, I'm the same as you, Dan. I have all these doubts, but I want it to be true, and I hope that it is.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's a pretty cool perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, which I like. I've worked very hard over a long time to have that perspective, and I like working towards something.
Yeah.
So then we became friends. Then we started squanking.
Yep. We got squabby.
We got squanchville with our friend Patrick. So we started doing the 5x5 workout, and we both got ripped.
Link in the description.
Together. Link in bio for 5x5 and what the word squanch means.
Just put in poor people discount.
Yeah,
2018 for just kidding.
Yeah, just
no, that's real.
Use code poor poor squanch, and you get 20% off your 5x5,
which is a free app, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll give you 20% off. Okay, then we started connecting on family stuff too.
Yeah,
a little bit, like we didn't have like the most idyllic upbringing.
Oh, like background.
Yeah, yeah, background. Yeah. And that's where I'm segueing, is background.
Good.
So, born and raised in Washington State?
I was born in Sacramento, California area until about the summer between second and third grade, then moved to Washington State.
Okay.
East Side, Cheney, Spokane area.
Cheney? Spokane? Cool. I've never been to Washington State.
Yeah.
Which drives me nuts. I always want to go, but yeah. So you did that. You were born to two parents.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep, biologically.
Biologically speaking, two parents.
In the natural way.
In the, yep. In God's way.
I do believe they were, no, you know, they weren't married at the time.
Oh, they were not? That's right. Did you find out about this later, though?
Yeah, my parents never told me anything about pre-Dan life.
Right.
And at some point I found out, and I don't care, you know, but it was shocking in that my parents never talked about their past, you know. My parents got married when I was 3 or 4, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But there was something else, too. Like, do you have, like, another brother that you didn't know about or something?
No, I know about all my brothers.
Which we can cut out if you don't want to
know about all my brothers, I think. I mean, there's always a chance there, but I'm working at Ancestry. And I was doing work on my family tree, and I found a record of my mom's marriage between one of my brother's dads. That sounds way worse. My oldest brother has a different dad from my mom's previous marriage.
Yeah.
Then my mom married my dad after my brother and I came along. But in between there was like a very brief marriage that I never knew about.
Was it like 3 months or 6 months or something?
Very
like that.
Short. I'm not sure exactly.
Did you talk to your mom about that?
Yeah, I asked.
I can't remember, because I remember you told me, but I didn't know if you talked to her about it or not.
Yeah, and her response was like, oh yeah, that guy, you never knew about that? I was like, no, mom. You know.
Did she tell you any more about it?
Just that it was a guy that she had dated for a while or something, and when my mom's first husband left, or when they split up or something, my mom's mom said, that guy's a great guy. You should marry him.
Mm.
So that happened. And it turned out he wasn't. I don't know the details. I can't remember his name. But, yeah, I learned that, like, within the last few months. So Ancestry is good.
And
he's discovered a lot of things in Ancestry.
So this section of the podcast is brought to you by Ancestry.com. type in poor blood, and you'll get 20% off your blood kit to swab.
That happens a lot, by the way.
Your blood.
Heard a lot of stories about people through the testing, learning about, like, parents and stuff. I managed the content here. I was looking at some feedback, and I saw one that was like, why is my daughter listed as my niece or something like that? And
yeah.
I was like, I think maybe your wife and your brother may have, you know, done some stuff.
Ooh!
So.
There was a news article recently about a woman, and Jamie looked this up, about this woman who she found out, she got her kit back and found out something about her, yeah, the fact that she found out that her dad, she found out her biological dad was her parents' infertility doctor.
What?
So he was spilling his seed into the mix.
Really?
And instead of her dad's seed impregnating her mom, it was the infertility doctor, and he'd been doing it with lots of his patients.
Wow.
And so he's a dad to, like, several people.
That's wild. And there was a CSI episode about that once.
Yeah. Also, there's a movie. There's a movie about it, a French movie.
Oh, yeah.
Called The Seed Doctor. I made that up. El Doctor. No, that's Spanish. Quick break from the podcast, folks, to do a personal plug. If you would like to be on thingspoorpeoplesay.com, please reach out to me. You can do that if you know me by phone, text, or email. And if you don't know me, you can go to thingspoorpeoplesay.com, and there's a contact page where you can put in a little story about your childhood that you think might be good for the show, and I will reach out to you if it doesn't suck. And if you would like to contribute in any other way, please, again, reach out to me if you know me, and if not, go to thingspoorpeoplesay.com, the contact page, and that will come straight to me. I'd love to work with you. Now, back to Dan. So you are poor.
Yep.
So you grew up in Washington. Parents got married when you're four, and not a whole lot going on money wise. But and you grow up, and you got two older brothers. You're the youngest ish,
and the youngest.
And your brother ends up taking a different path than you. Do you want? Are we talking about that or no?
I mean, I think it's a typical scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think. I'll say that when we moved up to Cheney, Washington, and started going to school there and stuff, I met a bunch of Mormon kids.
Right.
Hung out with them, did Boy Scouts.
So, you didn't grow up Mormon.
I didn't grow up Mormon.
You met a bunch of Mormon kids.
And they remain my, you know, best little tight-knit group of friends today.
Best, Dan? Best?
You're one of them.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, adopted in.
Yeah.
Grafted in.
Yeah.
But my brothers... They came from Sacramento. They were older in Sacramento, and in those days, the 90s, you know, Sacramento,
crazy,
you know, I don't know. But they came back, and here's a thing. I think in a place, in a big city like Sacramento, and you're living your life, you're going to middle school there.
Yeah,
you're subject to all kinds of different things than you are in Eastern Washington Cheney High School, which is more of a farm community at this point. You know, so they kind of bring some of them Californian. Habits of, like, you know, just dealing drugs.
Yeah.
You know, all
those
kinds of
habits.
Yeah. So, long story short, my siblings were like the Cheney Washington drug kingpins, which is kind of a nice thing for me because I had sort of this, like, social force field around me.
Right.
Where in high school...
Don't touch Dan.
Yeah. I wasn't a popular kid. I hung out with some of the popular kids, you know, but I was sort of never hassled or anything because it was like, that's Robbie's brother.
Yeah.
Don't mess with Robbie's brother, you know. To the point where I went to driver's ed once, and the teacher was like, Caudell, huh? Cool. I was like, all right.
That dude was high. From your brother. You told me a story once. You can tell again if you want. You told me a story once about your brother keeping arms in his room.
He kept arms in all rooms. There was this point, this was like the climax of my brother's kingpinship.
Yes.
I don't know how old I was. 15, I was in high school still. Towards the end of high school, maybe? I'm not sure. But I had this memory of... So, we lived in a split-level house in Chino, Washington. My mom owned it.
What?
It got foreclosed on eventually to keep this thing about being growing up poor, which is all part of the experience. But one day, it was in the evening, I get a knock on the door. I go answer it, and what I open the door to is like an AR-15 in my face and SWAT teams behind me and stuff. And this detective in street clothes, he got his badge out. He's like, "Hey, are your parents home?" I said, "Yeah, 1 minute." And I closed the door. Like, super casual, because it was weird.
"Yeah, 1 sec. Run!"
And I went, "Mom, door's for you."
"Hey, Mom." "Hey, Mom, guy's here."
And we had pit bulls, too, that my brother trained to be mean. And I put them in my bedroom. My mom answered the door. And then they searched our house, you know, and we learned that, I can't even remember the details. My brother was into some stuff, got into some trouble. He was already arrested somewhere, but they were coming to search the house. And they took firearms out of his room. We didn't know my brother was stashing stuff, but, like, they're searching the couch, and they lift the couch cushion, and a pistol falls out. We're like, "Oh, okay."
That's where I watch Family Guy.
And here's the funny thing. There was this detective. His name was, he was Deputy Justice. I'm not kidding. Who later, you can't make this up, who later lost his job for exposing himself to a barista in a nearby town called Arroway Heights, which is like the poorest town nearby.
Deputy Justice! That's what he was yelling.
Yeah, and you can't make this up. And this guy,
wearing a trench coat and yelling, "Deputy Justice!"
He was hassling me. He was like, "Tell me where your brother's stuff is. I know you know where it is.
Yeah.
Tell me where it is." Like, he was being that
dang
douchebag to a 15-year-old. And I remember just being like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know." The one thing my brother ever taught me in life was, you don't tell the cops anything. So I was being a good brother and good citizen.
Do you still live by that tenet?
I haven't interacted with the police, you know. And if I did, I think I might.
Tell them, or you would?
I would be like,
I don't know.
Show me a warrant. Because that's what they do on TV.
That's true. Well, it's like a SUV. Yeah. No, wait, SVU. Law and Order, SVU. Have you noticed how, like, every person that they interview in Law and Order is, like, extremely rude and extremely put off? Like, is it like, "Hey, we're trying to find this little girl. She lives around the corner. And, you know, her parents are really worried. And she's been missing for 2 days." And he's like, "I don't know nothing. Can I get back to changing this tire?"
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's because everybody has some other secret they're trying to hide.
That's true.
So they don't know what secret they're going to get.
No, but this guy works at the auto mechanic shop. They just want to know if he saw a car or if they worked on a car. He's like, "I don't know no Chevy Caprice. Let me get back to my tires. Right? We done here?" Yeah. It bothers me.
Yeah.
So.
1 second, though.
Yeah.
Finish up the story. Deputy Justice says, "Where are the grenades?" We know he has grenades. We already have grenades. Where are the grenades? And I was like, to be honest, I don't know anything about any grenades. And I didn't. I think that's a secret my brother would have kept from everybody.
Yeah, probably.
But they never found any grenades either, so I'm not sure what happened to those. But yeah, my brother went to jail for 5 years after that, I think.
Really?
This might have been the 2-year stint before the 5 years. I'm not sure. It was one of them. But to make matters worse, I put the pit bulls in my bedroom, and they were upset, and they were freaked out because there was a SWAT team in my house. So they pooped all over my bed. Pooped all over my bed, which was disgusting. But the police had to go search my room. So at some point, I moved the pit bulls from my room to my parents' room, and then the cops go into my room, and they go, "Look at these filthy freaking people. They let their dogs poop on their beds." That's what the cops said.
Deputy Justice?
One of them. I don't know.
I thought that they were going to say, like, "Dan, you got a problem, Dan? Like, it's okay to be scared, Dan, but you don't have to poop the bed."
Yeah.
That sucks.
It does.
I mean, like, how did the rest of your day go?
I can't remember. So
just like, whatever?
There's a room in my brain that I put certain memories in. I close a door. I think the rest of them are in there, whatever happened. Like, I'm not sure.
Close the door, and I lock it.
I can't get in that room.
No, I lock that door.
So you'll notice my stories are all very choppy.
Yeah.
Components are in the room.
There was a dog, Deputy Justice. I wonder if Deputy Justice referred to his exposed genitalia as Deputy Justice.
Yeah.
The long arm of the law. we're doing a section on this podcast called Lightning Round, or it's called, well, maybe Greased Lightning Round, Poor People Lightning Round, Fast and Poor, Fast Food for Thought. How about that?
Done deal.
Okay.
Fast Food for Thought.
It's a lightning round, and I'm gonna tell you two things, and you pick quickly, and then tell me why. Sound good?
Yes.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. Waffle House or Shaq?
Like Shaquille O'Neal?
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal.
Waffle House.
Why?
You can't do anything with Shaq.
Paycheck or lottery?
Paycheck.
Why?
Low risk.
Okay. Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Undertaker?
Don't care about either of them. Undertaker's less wordy.
Okay. WWF or Monster Trucks?
Monster Trucks.
Why?
Loud.
Okay.
No good reason.
Gravedigger or Temple Marriage?
He's all wrestling guy. I wasn't a wrestling guy growing up.
Gravedigger's not a wrestler. He's a monster truck. Gravedigger or Temple Marriage?
I could get in trouble for this one. And for that reason, Temple Marriage.
Football or basketball?
Football.
Basketball or boobs?
Boobs. Always.
Why?
Obviously.
Trump or Obama?
Obama.
Obama or Michelle? Obama.
Obama.
Michelle or Ferris Bueller?
Ferris Bueller.
Why?
I don't have reasons.
Because he's white? Is it because he's white?
Oh, yeah, you said that.
Is it because he's white, Dan?
Setting up a trap. Laughter.
Okay. It's Always Sunny or Workaholics?
It's Always Sunny.
Why?
I like it better. I haven't watched a lot of Workaholics.
All right. Related. Heroin or cocaine?
Ooh. Cocaine.
Right, why?
It's not intravenous.
Heroin or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Why?
Because it's not drugs.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Nietzsche?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Why?
Because I don't have to read it.
Not into Nietzsche?
I like Nietzsche.
Yeah.
It's just turtles are...
You don't believe God is dead, is what it is.
I don't think people know what God is dead means.
I do know what it means.
Nietzsche.
I know what it means.
I don't think I do.
Oh, I do. I know what it means. Because the second follow-up is, and we killed him. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's God is dead, and we killed him. Lightning round. Hip-hop or rock?
Rock.
Why?
It's just personal
preference. White? Because it's white, Dan?
Because I can't dance. Maybe that with that.
Okay, because you can't
dance.
Is
that racist to say?
No, that's good.
Okay.
Stereotypical, but not racist. Creed or Nickelback?
Creed.
Why?
You know, I just don't know.
Do you hear what happened to Scott Stapp?
No.
He went crazy, mentally insane, was in a mental hospital.
Sure.
Broke out, started tweeting that he was going to go kill the president.
I've heard about that,
And they caught him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did any of that happen to Nickelback people?
No.
Okay,
no.
That's why Creed then.
Yeah. the word panty or the word undergarment?
Panty.
Why?
It's just kind of sexy connotation.
No, it doesn't. That's a gross word. It's a terrible word. Mormons or Satanists?
Undergarment.
Undergarment.
Yeah. Still panties better.
Mormons or Saturday Night Live?
Saturday Night Live.
Why?
Because, you know, they're relaxed. And I don't know. Can't think of anything good.
Oh, very telling. That was the last one that I had. That we were talking about earlier that I think would be good for the podcast.
Yeah.
And it was, what was it? Oh, I think this also involves your brother.
The road trip. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us the road trip.
Yeah. So, as a young person growing up, I didn't have a lot. My mom did a really good job of making us not look poor.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why she remained poor forever, because she was like, "Do you want a piano for Christmas? Keyboard?
Yeah.
Here you go."
Well, if I can interrupt for one moment.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point of this whole thing, is that, like, there's poverty.
Yeah.
Like, there's poverty where it's like, my stomach is blowing up because I don't have any food.
Yeah.
And we weren't that. I wasn't that. Mm-hmm. We had money to eat.
Right.
And I mentioned that in the first episode, but then there's poor, and it's like, that's more of like a mentality, right?
Yeah.
So it's this mentality of like, we don't have what everyone else has, but we're going to make it up in certain ways.
Right.
Either by buying grenades
and
storing those grenades, somewhere that still have not been found, and I pity the person who finds them.
Probably in the attic of a foreclosed house in Chino.
or like I'm gonna blow money I do not have.
Yeah.
To make you look like you have what you need.
Well, my mom is and was always kind of a saint. Like, she was the best mom in the world.
Yeah.
So Christmas time would come, and we'd be like, I want a keyboard for Christmas because I want to learn how to play the piano.
Yeah.
So mom would say, probably not. That's expensive.
Yeah.
And we'd say, okay, no big deal. But on Christmas morning, there would always be that thing. So the keyboard was there, you know. And being a dick child,
yeah,
I learned how to play, like, one Disney riff on it, and I never played it again.
After.
You know. But my mom made sure that stuff happened. But we were always poor simply because she kind of did that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
But also then, like, not a whole lot of money to go around and did that stuff. That's the way that my parents were too. Like, they, like, real wonderful, like, tried real hard, didn't abandon us at all, which is crazy to me.
That's like the first step.
Yeah. I'm doing really well, and I could leave my kids any moment.
Right.
The fact that my parents didn't is commendable. And then, yeah, they would I'm soccer starting, and I would get like a new pair of cleats.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they would even be like a Nike pair of cleats.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but we didn't have the money for it.
Right.
So, anyways.
So, segue. My brother one day was like, Dan.
This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Segway. use the code Scooter Control for 20% off your next Segway purchase. All right, back to our regular program here.
Yeah. My brother says, Danny, do you want an Xbox? And me being in my situation, I was like, of course I want an Xbox, man.
Hell yeah, I want an Xbox.
I'll do anything for an Xbox. So he says, here's what you got to do. You got to take mom's car. You got to drive me to pick up my friend and then bring him back. I said, cool, man. That sounds like a pretty simple thing for an Xbox. I said, where are we going? He said, oh, it's just past Airway Heights, past the casino in Airway Heights. It's no big deal. It's like 25 minutes away. So Airway Heights is a town with an Air Force base on it, about 20 minutes from Spokane, from Chino, basically.
And I guess like an Indian reservation?
Yeah.
If there's a casino?
There's a casino. Yeah, an Indian casino on the bay, nearby.
Okay.
And back in high school, this town was the one where, like, when you start your first day of school and you learn there's a new kid from Airway Heights, you're like, I'm staying away from that kid.
Yeah.
That was this town, right?
Okay.
Airway Heights kids were like the grungy, JNCO wearing kids that you didn't want to spend any time with. Also, the ones that were probably violent criminals, too. Interestingly, my mom currently lives there in this town with my brother and my dad,
and
all in an apartment.
In JNCOs.
Yeah, still JNCOs.
Oh, wait, this is Robbie, brother.
Robbie.
Five-year stint,
yeah.
Brother.
Yep.
Brother and girl and baby?
What about them?
They all live there?
No.
Okay, just Robbie.
Brother and baby.
Brother and baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine. It's fun.
We'll move on.
Let's move past this. Anyway, Robbie says, yeah, this place is just nearby. He's past Airway Heights. I said, great. Let's hop in the car. We get my mom's Ford ZX2 stick shift that I learned how to drive on. Very small, zippy car.
It's like a two-door Contour.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. It's really nice.
By the way, when you grow up poor-ish like this,
mm-hmm.
you memorize the make and model of any car for some weird reason.
Yeah.
It's a weird phenomenon.
Excuse me. So we start driving, and we get to Airway Heights, and then we get past Airway Heights, and the road is like, you just keep going. So we end up driving for like probably 4 to 6 hours. I'm not sure how long it is. But we go, I think, I'm not sure where we went, but we might have went to the Idaho Panhandle. We might have crossed state lines into like this very rural, forested place you would go camp, basically. And so it's already pretty sketchy. And the person we were picking up was my brother's friend, Nathan. And people called him Scrathan or Crackhead Nathan. Those were his nicknames.
Scrathan? What does Scraith mean?
No idea.
All right.
It's just
Scrathan.
Something to call a crackhead, dude.
Scraith.
This guy was a crackhead. He had dreadlocks.
Yeah.
He was an Arrowheads type person.
Yeah, full on.
And he would always have these crazy conspiracy theories. One time, he'd be like, oh, hey, dude. That's how we talk. How most crackheads talk. Like, have you ever heard about the tunnels, dude, that connect D.C. to every city in the country, dude? There's paintings of aliens. That really happened. This was this kind of guy. My brother said, let's go pick him up. We pick him up. We drive the 4 to 6 hours back home. You know, pretty uneventful. And then I was pissed off because my brother manipulate me with an Xbox to do this for him.
Do like a 12-hour round trip.
Yeah. And the things I learned afterwards was that Nathan was basically wanted by the police, like warrant out for his arrest.
That's surprising to me.
And I was manipulated by an Xbox to harbor and traffic a fugitive across straight lines. My brother knew that, and Nathan knew that, but they didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
It was really exciting. And I never did get an Xbox.
That's my question. Did you get an Xbox?
I never got an Xbox. I don't know if it existed. But I did that.
Just like
my brother was like my brother was like this a lot. He's like a genius. Like I said, he was a kingpin. He knew how to do that.
Yeah.
Things fell apart eventually, but he was good at what he did.
Yeah. It's weird how people like that have what it takes to be successful in the real world.
Yeah.
They just get real successful in the not real world.
I think what might happen is it's a matter of it's like an effort to income ratio.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it takes a lot of work to make the measly income that I have now. You know?
Well, and it's a time investment
when you're
too.
A drug dealer, it's like, here's this. I have a gun. Give me lots of money, and like that's the extent of your effort.
So
maybe that's wrong. I don't know
who's smarter though. If that's the case.
Well, if you can do that and not go to prison for a long time,
yeah.
Maybe that person.
And also maybe not kill or hurt anybody.
Right.
Then why not? Although drugs, you know, that hurts people.
Only bad people.
Drugs only hurt bad people.
Well, I mean, it's okay to hurt bad people.
Oh yes,
according to a lot of TV I watch.
Yeah. So can I finish changing this tire now?
My brother was like this a lot. I have a few examples of things that he did where he sort of like manipulated me to like help him
yeah.
be a criminal. One was, this happened occasionally, it'd be a weekend or it'd be during the week where he's not in school for some reason, and he'd be like, Danny, here's what I need you to do for me. At 10 a.m., on the dot, put this brown baggie in the mailbox. Come inside and then watch from the window to make sure that somebody comes by and takes the brown baggie for me. I'd be like, you got it, buddy. I don't know what was going on back in those days.
Yeah.
It occurred to me several years later, I was like, oh, I was totally...
You're dealing drugs. You were dealing yeah. drugs.
I was dealing drugs for my bro.
That's it, everybody. That was our episode. I had a blast recording that with Dan. My friend Dan Caudill. I hope that you enjoyed listening to it. Up next is going to be a special surprise guest on the show. It's actually Chris Pratt. That's a joke. But someday, Chris, if you're listening, do you want to be on my podcast? Thank you again for listening. If you have any comments, questions, or if you want to be on the podcast, again, go to thingspoorpeoplesay.com and contact me there. I'd love to talk to you and find out what kind of drugs you were dealing for your brother, or whatever other crazy kind of stuff happened to you in your childhood. Let's talk about it. See ya.